M. Jackson, W266, DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Clear.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper in Chicago. An arrest is made in the November murders of four University of Idaho students, and CBS News has learned that forensic analysis allegedly linked the suspect to the crime scene, which played a part in obtaining an arrest warrant. CBS's Danya Backus reports from Idaho.
After 19,000 tips in a quadruple murder case that drew nationwide attention.
Last night, detectives arrested 28-year-old Brian Christopher Kohlberger.
Kohlberger was arrested at his parents' Pennsylvania home. The 28-year-old is a PhD criminology student at Washington State University, just a 10-minute drive to the Idaho campus.
Retired FBI Special Agent Doug Counts on why few details so far.
There could be other suspects. There could be different things that the investigators just don't want released yet that might jeopardize their court case because there's still a long way to go.
An extradition hearing for Kohlberger is scheduled for Tuesday. South Korea says the North has fired three short-range ballistic missiles toward its eastern waters, the latest in a barrage of weapons tests this year. South Korea's Joint Chiefs of Staff says it detected the three launches from an inland area south of Pyongyang. Democrats in Congress released 6 years' worth of former President Trump's tax returns, the culmination of years-long effort by Trump to keep them private. CBS's Scott McFarlane has more.
Democrats on the House Ways and Means Committee have argued before the release today and after the release today is that Donald Trump took deductions for which there were not proper documentation or that were just improper and that he could have and should have been paying more in his taxes.
Southwest Airlines returns to a relatively normal flight schedule after days of meltdowns for the airlines, passengers over delays and cancellations and luggage. WANF-TV's Madeline Montgomery in Atlanta.
Southwest says it is back to business as usual.
I feel so much better now. I was about to have a heart attack in here.
But while the airline's flight schedule is back to normal, folks aren't quick to forget what they've been through the past week.
We stood in a 2.5-hour line to get rebooked, and they got us on like the last two seats for one to Jacksonville, which then was delayed three times. It's just been stressful. I already had my meltdown.
An appeals court says doctors cannot be prosecuted under Arizona's pre-statehood law that criminalizes almost all abortions. Many hospitals are again being swamped. CBS's Jim Krasula has a case in point.
The University of New Mexico Children's Hospital is so overwhelmed, Washington is sending a medical team to help doctors and nurses. The hospital in Albuquerque has been operating at over full capacity. Some doctors are busier than the past two winters when COVID-19 was the main factor increasing hospital admissions.
This is CBS News.
Brought to you by Clear, a faster, easier way through airport security. Try today for 2 months free by visiting clearme.com/CBS22 or use code CBS.
The Shaw 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk. From Butler to Windlake, always streaming at waukradio.com.
For Civic Media, I'm Terry Bell with this news. A teenage driver is under arrest accused of causing a wrong-way crash on Interstate 9094 near the Wisconsin Dells the other night. State troopers say the 18-year-old showed signs of impairment right after the crash. Now they face charges after a field sobriety test and a blood draw. One person in the other vehicle was killed. Other people injured in the crash are expected to recover. The Wisconsin National Guard would be subject to more scrutiny if a number of bills in the state legislature become law. The Guard would have to report to the governor and state lawmakers about efforts to confront and stop sexual assault. The bills come after a report into failures at the National Guard base in Madison. In sports, the Bucks host Minnesota tonight. Badger men's basketball welcomes Western Michigan. You're listening to The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM.
Women hear a lot about self-care these days. Advice on ways to relax, exercise, eat healthy, and more. Those are all great. But one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. That means saving money for retirement. It's never too late to start. And it's the kind of self-care that brings peace of mind that lasts. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. That's WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Give me the news. I got a bad case of loving you. Thursdays at 11:30. We are joined by Dr. Michael McCutcheon, who is a psychologist, a lecturer, and additionally, he's won 10,000 fantasy football leagues and loves to help people make easy, free money. Dr. Mike fixes your life and your lineup.
Listen Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
27% of the American workforce, and some even say 30%, were in unions who had representation and who clearly did not have to worry about whether or not they were going to get their fair share. But I'm definitely going to fight for people who get the short end of the stick in this society only because they don't have representation. That's who I am.
Check out the Earl Ingram Show every day from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. only on WAUK 540 a.m. 101 FM, The Shaw.
The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM, Wisconsin's home for rational talk radio. You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media. To learn more, go to our website, civicmedia.us.
It's time for the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is the voice of the working class, Rick Smith.
And welcome, brothers, sisters, working class heroes. This is the Rick Smith Show. Thanks so much for being here. Today on the big program, we come to you with our program from Reading, Pennsylvania on our tour, the Working Class Heroes Tour, brought to you by the American Family Voices Group, also our friends over at Career Newsroom. A little hitch in the tour thus far. As we left, a little inside baseball, as we left to start our tour, my son took ill. He was a little sick, doing the projectile thing. And we took him to a med center, and yeah, he's probably got a stomach bug. While we were out on the road, appendix burst, I had to rush back. And this is one of these moments, and I wanted to start today by talking about, especially coming, to Reading and spending time in Reading, which just 2 years ago was rated the poorest city, the city with the highest poverty rate of any city in the country of its size. And looking back to an era, and we're going to talk about some of that here today, that, this city was once, a manufacturing powerhouse. This was a city that had, just incredible amounts of middle class, working class, union jobs that supported the community, provided a base for the working class to move forward and live that American dream. And as we were racing back, and that's, I got the call and I said, we're taking him to the hospital and this is what's going on. And my wife's like, what are you going to do? And I said, I'm on my way back. And at no point, and this is where, this is where I have privilege and this is where I'm fortunate. And this is where I wanted to start today, because at no point until my son was out of surgery, until we went through that whole process and kind of had fun with him as he came out of it, did the thought pop into my head of, one, how fortunate I am that I have good Teamster negotiated health insurance, but that I didn't think about it. That at no point during that process did my mind go, oh my goodness, how am I going to afford this? How am I going to take care of my kid? No, it was get him to the hospital as fast as possible, get him the care he needs as soon as possible, get him what he needs to make this go away. I mean, this is my buddy. This is my child. In those moments, and fortunately they don't happen often, but in those moments, I'm grateful. And in those moments, I want others to be able to have that. When you look at the fact that, and again, coming out of Reading is just, maybe it's, you know, just the juxtaposition of how privileged I've been and how fortunate I am in this moment. And this being one of the poorest places in this country. And the fact that we have such mass inequality and that there are people who you know, in this same situation are going to be struggling. Because what we know is we know medical debt, number one reason for people being thrown out of their homes, you know, for losing, for going bankrupt, for losing their homes and losing their life savings and all of that. Number one cause for bankruptcy in this country. Because somebody got sick. Because someone needed medical attention. The number one cause. One study out there said 62% of all bankruptcies are caused by medical issues. Because somebody got sick. Because something outside of their control. Look, my son didn't want this. This was not a scheme to get out of taking a test. This was not a scheme to get out of going to school. Although I'm sure he would have thought of some way to do that. This wasn't that. And, you know, you look at the fact that, you know, the Peterson Kaiser Family Foundation came out with a poll that estimated that, you know, medical debt in this country totals, you know, almost $200 billion. And that was 2019. What is it today post-pandemic? And you look at our healthcare system. The sad reality is my son had to wait hours to get the surgery that they said, immediately, he needs it now. Because our healthcare system is inundated. And again, you go back to the pandemic. The whole point of all of the caution, the precautions that I was talking about taking and the reason that I was in favor of the lockdowns and all of the things that happened was to save the healthcare system from kind of where we are. Because I spent the time that I was there talking with nurses, talking with the doctors, saying, hey, how are things going? And every one of them to a T are saying, look, we're struggling. We're struggling to keep up. We're struggling to get people the care that they need as they need it. This is a problem. And especially, you know, and again, I come back to my good fortune. You know, we have fantastic insurance. Again, there was never a thought to send him to the doctor the other day. Hey, go over to the med center. Let's find out what's going on. Let's get to the ER. Let's find out what's going on. This is something that every family should be able to do. Now, the sad reality is what's happened in this country on the healthcare front. Again, it's another one of these situations where we've consolidated so much. We've put investors and private interests and profit motives and all of this stuff on top of this because we for-profitized the healthcare industry. Premiums, healthcare premiums have just skyrocketed. In fact, they pointed out in the one study that since 2009, healthcare premiums have jumped over 50%, while earnings for actual, you know, for folks, and this is broad based. This isn't just, you know, and I would argue for the lower down the economic scale you get, the bigger the jump in your premiums. But you know, they're saying your earnings have only increased 26%. So somewhere this wealth is going, not going to the workers. And this is one of these things that, you know, in the next segment, I want to talk about, because one of the things that I came across while we were in our time in Reading that somebody threw out at me that I just found interesting the way it was framed is, you know, how corporations are supposedly punished because it's the government doing this. No, it's the profit motive doing this. The fact that, you know, our census said that some 52 million people in this country struggle to pay medical bills. 26%, they're saying like 26% of the country can't pay medical bills. And you go, do you think you have a problem? Now we're told, again, got the best healthcare in the world. Best healthcare, hands down, best healthcare. And yet, a quarter of our citizens are struggling to pay the bills. There's a problem, don't you think? And again, I come back to my way of thinking. And this is where I want to finish this, is, you know, where I've been so fortunate and so lucky in this, that I didn't for one second think about, how am I going to pay for this? And the thing is I know how fortunate I am, and I want that for everyone. This is where this flip happens. So if you're wondering, what's the point of all this? The point of all this is I'm fortunate, and I want everyone to be able to have that same kind of inner security to go, you know what? If my kid's sick, if my child's sick, my little buddy's sick, he's going to get what he needs. Without question. There's no, oh, hey, can we afford this? Is it this or paying the rent for the next 6 months? Is it this or you know, selling the house? Is it this or you know, draining out the retirement accounts? Is it this or, you know, going into bankruptcy and being homeless? Is it this or name the horrible? This is where policymakers, this is where government, I believe, steps in. I'd love to hear your thoughts. Email me, rick@thericksmithshow.com, as we continue. And yes, we are continuing the Working Class Heroes Tour. Want to hear your thoughts, questions, comments? Email me, rick@thericksmithshow.com. Also, you can follow us along at thericksmithshow.com. Or daily, we're going to be putting out where we've been, what we've seen, who we saw, all that kind of stuff. If you miss any portion of the programs, make sure you grab the podcast. This way you can always stay up on where we are. Quick break, right back. This is the best of the Rick Smith Show.
If you're a fan of the show, you've heard our Labor History in 2 segments, and you can hear them on the radio pretty much anywhere in the U.S. Labor history has never been more important than it is right now. So here's what we'd like you to do. Tell a teacher. Tell a teacher that labor history is important and that they can get digestible 2-minute lessons that are absolutely free. Free to download, free to use, free to share. Tell a teacher to go to thericksmithshow.com/history and help us put labor back where it belongs, in the classroom. You know, generations of American workers fought, bled, and died to build the American way of life. It's our job to keep their stories alive. Go tell a teacher that we're here to help them do just that. Find us at thericksmithshow.com/history today. You're listening to the best of the Rick Smith Show.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So one of the things that, you know, going to Reading that I was really excited about being able to do is Reading is the place for the Reading Railroad. This is where, you know, you go back to as a labor history geek, as someone who spent a lot of time reading and studying about it, you know, the Great Railroad Strike of 1877. I mean, Reading was right in the heart of all of that. The fight for better wages, hours, conditions. And you think about it today. You fast forward to all these years, 1877, long time ago, fighting for better wages, hours, conditions. And today you had the same railroad workers saying, you know what, we want better conditions. You know, their complaint is not about wages so much as it is about, you know, work-life balance, about conditions. And, you know, in 1877, you had this massive railroad strike, which was, you know, following, you had the depression there, the panic of 1873, you had the long depression following that. And, you know, the workers are like, hey, you know, we want better. And you had this strike, and you had these violent, you know, clashes with the National Guard. In fact, 6 men in Reading were killed during this period. It was just, you know, the history of this was amazing. And what's interesting is there isn't any real labor history that I could find talking about the labor part of this. You know, for those who have been longtime listeners, you may remember back in 2013, we did our labor history tour, and, you know, talking about the Great Railroad Strike of 1877, we went to Martinsburg, West Virginia, where they claim it all started there. Some people say, no, it was Reading. Some people, no, it was Baltimore. No, it was... But Martinsburg had a plaque, And this is one of those things that just, it's always going to stick with me because it's what we do to labor history in this country. It was our first stop. So we went to the roundhouse that was burned during the strike. And we're told there's a placard, you know, commemorating the event. And so we're going around the roundhouse, took a nice tour. We had someone, you know, walk us around and show us all the wonderful things about how important the rail industry is and how wonderful the roundhouse was. And it was a beautiful place. And no placard. Couldn't find it anywhere. We drove down this alley to this dead end where the tracks dead end, and there was a placard there commemorating the roundhouse. And we couldn't find the other one. And finally, you know, one of the kids, you know, looked around and saw that there was some writing on the other side, you know, off the edge of the cliff. So there's a dead end. There's this pole with a placard on the other side of a fence. And, you know, the roundhouse one is on this side. And on the other side is what they had written about the Great Railroad Strike of 1877. So in order to read it, you had to go back into the roundhouse. You had to jump off the platform, you know, walk about a quarter of a mile, you know, just off the tracks, and look up 10 feet to be able to almost read what it said. And it was whitewashed version of the history. Didn't even really talk about the workers' struggle, just said that it happened. And it was that kind of corporatized, you know, sanitized speak that we ended up finding all across the country when you're talking about labor history. And this is part of that. To me, the reality is that the Great Railroad Strike of 1877 should be something the Reading should have been, you know, at least the working people should be, you know, out there pushing. And if there is somewhere, please, my friends in Reading, if we weren't able to find it and our guide wasn't able to say, hey, here it is, well, please let me know. Email me, rick@therickSmithShow.com. I don't want to be wrong on this, but we didn't find it because I think it's important. Now, again, you know, the railroads, huge in the Reading area at one point. The prosperity that came out of it, iron, coal, that's what just built the area. Steel, you know, production, manufacturing, all the jobs, all the stuff. And this is why Reading was a thriving industrial powerhouse for generations. And again, much like, you know, again, the folks that we were able to talk to, they all told the same kind of story. You know, it was the deindustrialization of the 80s that led to the beginning of the decline. It was the horrible trade deals that were continually signed. And it was just this gradual kind of, and then off the cliff kind of thing that happened to the manufacturing base. And again, this mass consolidation, one being sold to another, to another, to another. And before you know it, you know, what's happening is it's no longer about running the business. It's no longer about doing the job. It's no longer about producing the product. It's now about solely profit. Now, it used to be. Now, look, I'm not trying to.
A progressive voice for rural Wisconsin. WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming at WAUKradio.com.
CBS News Brief. A break in the case of four University of Idaho students who were stabbed to death in an off-campus house in November. Suspect Brian Koberger is in custody in northeastern Pennsylvania. CBS's Danya Backus reports from Moscow, Idaho.
The district attorney who will eventually prosecute the suspect says an arrest does not mean an end to the investigation. They are still searching for tips from anyone who knows the suspect, and we should know more after the extradition hearing Tuesday in Pennsylvania.
A Democratic-led U.S. House committee releases 6 years of former President Trump's tax returns. CBS News legal contributor Jessica Levinson.
We see massive write-offs when it comes to his businesses, where he said that his businesses lost a lot of income or had a lot of expenses.
Il Papa Emerito is saying.
A holy mass for Pope Emeritus Benedict XVI was celebrated in Rome today. His health has been declining, but the Vatican says at the moment his condition is stable. CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
The Shaw 101 FM, Franklin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at WAUKradio.com.
For Civic Media, I'm Terry Bell with this news. The most powerful Republican in Wisconsin state government says he'll try to make sure Donald Trump is not his party's nominee for president in 2024. Assembly Speaker Robert Voss tells the Journal Sentinel the GOP needs a more positive, forward-looking message. Trump was seen as a drag on Republican candidates statewide in November, especially in Milwaukee's reliably Republican suburbs. People fighting homelessness and opioid addiction will get help from a new state housing program announced this week. The Recovery Voucher Program will aim to provide affordable and safe housing to homeless people with opioid use disorder. Some of the money comes from Wisconsin's share of a settlement with major drug distributors and Johnson & Johnson for their roles in the opioid epidemic. In sports, the Bucks host Minnesota tonight. Badger men's basketball welcomes Western Michigan. You're listening to The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM.
Women hear a lot about self-care these days. Advice on ways to relax, exercise, eat healthy, and more. Those are all great. But one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. That means saving money for retirement. It's never too late to start. And it's the kind of self-care that brings peace of mind that lasts. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. That's WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
I'm Pat Kreitlow from Up North News. On an earlier edition, we talked to three women, med students, about whether they're going to stay in Wisconsin to practice medicine.
All this Roe v. Wade stuff, and now OBGYN's hands are so tied. I don't want to go through 12 years of training to have some person that didn't do training tell me how to do my job.
It is not a binary choice. You're for or against abortion. It is a healthcare decision. We all have those stories, and people want to hear them.
Don't miss the real stories here on Up North News.
We are joined by the 57th Assembly District Representative, Lee Snodgrass. Thanks for being here.
Listen Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
How do I need to adapt this based on what has changed since I first introduced it? Government does not move fast. I'm sure that's a shocker to all of you guys. Public policy doesn't change until public opinion changes.
Listen to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry right here on The Shaw, 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM.
To protect his family from disaster, Steve used his camera phone.
Done.
By taking pictures of his important documents, Steve can always have them stored online. Learn more simple disaster prep tips at ready.gov. A message from FEMA and the Ad Council.
You're listening to the best of the Rick Smith Show. We will be returning on January 3rd.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So as we spend time in Reading, Pennsylvania on our Working Class Heroes Tour, Reading was, just a couple of years ago, the poorest community in the country. They were ranked the poorest area in the country. And, you know, food insecurity, really a huge, an enormous number. And it's one of these things you go, as the wealthiest nation in the world at its wealthiest moment in history, this not acceptable. And it's not acceptable on a whole bunch of reasons, because we keep hearing about how we're a Christian nation and all this stuff. Not so much. But I'm thrilled to see President Biden finally somebody going, hey, you know what? We're going to do this. We're going to call to our better nature. We're going to bring people together. We're going to unite the country. We're going to tackle a problem that should have been taken care of years ago. And that's ending childhood hunger. And I know it's food insecurity. No, hunger. We got hungry kids. That's a crime. And here to share some thoughts on how we get to that place, I've asked Arohi Pathak to come talk with us. She's the director of policy at the Center for American Progress's Poverty to Prosperity program. Arohi, thanks for taking time for us.
Thanks for inviting me on, Rick.
So, you know, I look at this and, you know, as we're in Reading, you know, talking about, you know, the plight of the city and the problems that they've had, hunger being front and center. And in like I said, in the wealthiest country in the history of civilization, at its wealthiest moment, to have children going to bed hungry is, in my view, criminal.
That's exactly right. You've hit the nail on the head. For the richest country in the world, we have 10% of the population that routinely struggles with food security and hunger. That's about 25 million households. That's a lot of people who do not have enough food on a week-to-week basis to make sure that their health and nutrition and well-being is taken care of.
So let's go through some of those words, because people use food insecure as where I'm going. People are hungry. When I was a kid, living in the projects on the west side of Cleveland, at the end of the month, there was nothing in the house. I wasn't food insecure. We were hungry. There was nothing to eat. So what's the difference between food insecure and my view of people are hungry?
You know, it's mostly just semantics. I think you're absolutely right. If someone is hungry, if someone is missing a meal.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app. You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Clear.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper in Chicago. An arrest is made in the November murders of four University of Idaho students, and CBS News has learned that forensic analysis allegedly linked the suspect to the crime scene, which played a part in obtaining an arrest warrant. CBS's Danya Backus reports from Idaho.
After 19,000 tips in a quadruple murder case that drew nationwide attention.
Last night, detectives arrested 28-year-old Brian Christopher Kohlberger.
Kohlberger was arrested at his parents' Pennsylvania home. The 28-year-old is a PhD criminology student at Washington State University, just a 10-minute drive to the Idaho campus.
Retired FBI Special Agent Doug Counts on why few details so far.
There could be other suspects. There could be different things that the investigators just don't want released yet that might jeopardize their court case because there's still a long way to go.
An extradition hearing for Kohlberger is scheduled for Tuesday. South Korea says the North has fired three short-range ballistic missiles toward its eastern waters, the latest in a barrage of weapons tests this year. South Korea's Joint Chiefs of Staff says it detected the three launches from an inland area south of Pyongyang. Democrats in Congress released 6 years' worth of former President Trump's tax returns, the culmination of years-long effort by Trump to keep them private. CBS's Scott McFarlane has more.
Democrats on the House Ways and Means Committee have argued before the release today and after the release today is that Donald Trump took deductions for which there were not proper documentation or that were just improper and that he could have and should have been paying more in his taxes.
Southwest Airlines returns to a relatively normal flight schedule after days of meltdowns for the airlines, passengers over delays and cancellations and luggage. WANF-TV's Madeline Montgomery in Atlanta.
Southwest says it is back to business as usual.
I feel so much better now. I was about to have a heart attack in here.
But while the airline's flight schedule is back to normal, folks aren't quick to forget what they've been through the past week.
We stood in a 2.5-hour line to get rebooked, and they got us on like the last two seats for one to Jacksonville, which then was delayed three times. It's just been stressful. I already had my meltdown.
An appeals court says doctors cannot be prosecuted under Arizona's pre-statehood law that criminalizes almost all abortions. Many hospitals are again being swamped. CBS's Jim Krasula has a case in point.
The University of New Mexico Children's Hospital is so overwhelmed, Washington is sending a medical team to help doctors and nurses. The hospital in Albuquerque has been operating at over full capacity. Some doctors are busier than the past two winters when COVID-19 was the main factor increasing hospital admissions.
This is CBS News.
Brought to you by Clear, a faster, easier way through airport security. Try today for 2 months free by visiting clearme.com/CBS22 or use code CBS22.
Eric was way behind on his taxes.
I owed a lot of money to the IRS, almost $15,000. I tried to make payments.
The IRS wasn't satisfied with Eric's efforts, so they came after him full force.
They're coming to put a lien and a hold on all my income, my home, my car. I was just overwhelmed at what to do.
Then Eric called Optima Tax Relief.
When Optima Tax got involved, the calls would stop, the threats would stop. It was easy like, 1, 2, 3.
Optima Tax Relief is A-plus rated by the Better Business Bureau, and their team of expert tax professionals took care of Eric's problem.
I owe $15,000, and now my debt is clean. I don't owe anything.
Take Eric's advice.
If you have a tax problem, you need to call Optima Tax now.
Call Optima Tax Relief for a free consultation. Call 800-343-6460. 800-343-6460. 800-343-6460.
Optima Tax Relief.
Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
A controversial social media influencer is facing serious charges overseas.
Andrew Tate is a former British kickboxer who got famous on the reality show Big Brother in 2016. But he went viral and ultimately got banned from Twitter for his misogynistic, racist, and overall hateful messages. Just this week, he got into it with teenage climate activist Greta Thunberg.
Please bring me pizza and make sure that these boxes are not recycled.
That video led police right to him in Romania. Tate was detained as part of a huge human trafficking and rape investigation. Authorities say he helped recruit and exploit women by forcing them to create pornographic content. Monica Ricks, CBS News.
Volkswagen is recalling nearly 42,000 Beetles in the U.S. and Canada because they have potentially dangerous Takata airbag inflators. The recall covers Beetles from the 2015 and 2016 model years. Federal safety officials say the inflators can explode with too much force and hurl shrapnel, and the chemical used to inflate them can deteriorate over time. Jennifer Kuiper, CBS News.
You wash your hands, you brush your teeth, but what about the nose? How do you clean your nose? With Navage. Navage uses powered suction to pull saline in one nostril, around the back of the nose, and out the other nostril, flushing out allergens, mucus, and germs. And it's why cleaning your nose, the body's air filter, is the next evolution in daily personal hygiene. People try Navage for lots of reasons. Sinusitis, colds, allergies, snoring, things that make it hard to breathe through your nose. But over time, they find that cleaning their nose makes them feel better, a lot better. Over 3 million Navage users have written more than 100,000 reviews, averaging 4.7 stars, saying, best product I've ever used, and amazing, I love my Navage. Navage helps you breathe better, sleep deeper, and snore less, but the biggest payoff is improved health. Navage is good personal hygiene and can help you stay healthier. At Walmart, Walgreens, CVS, Rite Aid, Target, and online. Navage, N-A-V-A-G-E. Clean nose, healthy life.